Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, the first day of March, 2021, in the year of our Lord, 2021. I never thought I'd see this year, but it's March 1st, so everyone get used to writing March instead of February. Thankfully, February is behind us. Short month indeed. HagmanReport.com. That's the place to go. On the HagmanReport.com above the content, you'll find a banner. Click on the banner. That'll take you to our audio video. Folks, again, I beg of you, I plead, let me ask you, please follow us on Rumble or Brighteon. And I'll tell you, there's a reason why, which is coming up. Which I find very interesting. It's not unexpected, of course, but nonetheless, it's important for you to follow, to subscribe to us on Rumble and or Brighteon. Big tech tyranny has conservative news outlets scared to report the news. By the way, yes, President Trump spoke at CPAC yesterday, called out many of the rhino Republicans, and did so very well, I thought, and I'm glad he did. You know, President Trump also stated yesterday that his request for 10,000 National Guardsmen on January 6th was rejected by Nancy Pelosi. Now we've got Fort Pelosi or Camp Pelosi behind walls and razor wire. Also, Biden's State Department nominee, Victoria Nuland. You remember Victoria Nuland. Well, she's a defender of the Chinese Communist Party propaganda program. It's interesting when you look at CPAC numbers on YouTube, viewers, whether it's through Right Side Broadcasting News or other venues, you will see tens, hundreds of thousands of upvotes. When you look at the same upvotes and downvotes for, 90-second clips of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, it is the absolute inverse of that, where you will see tens of thousands of downvotes. It has gotten so bad that big tech had to disable the comments on all of Biden and Harris's videos. Look, they're not even trying to hide this anymore. But let's take a step back, because we got just a fantastic program for you. Randy Taylor's riding shotgun with me, John Moore as well on this Monday. But let's set the stage, shall we, for exactly what is going on. The left is part and of facilitators of what is known as the Great Reset. You've heard the phrase build back better. Okay. That is a mantra of the left. That's the mantra of the Communist Party. That is the mantra of the globalist Communist Party. But let's hear what the party of the left, what the Democratic Communists, and I won't even call them Democrats, I will just say the Communist Party in the United States and across the globe. Let's look at the bigger picture. In their own words, what they have planned for us. Now, Alex Jones talked about this past weekend, but it's always good to make sure that you, the listeners and viewers, understand what they have planned for you and I. Because they want you and I, instead of eating, you know, Angus beef, for example. No, they want to grow the beef in a lab or make it out of the blood of insects and insect parts and plant material. They're already doing the plant material stuff. But this is their way of saying, well, we have to stop the greenhouse gases. I mean, this is out of control. You know, the whole world's going to end in 10 years if we don't get this under control. Well, by that metric, Al Gore's metric, we should be completely annihilated by now. Yet, you know, these same people, they fly to Davos in their own jets. Again, this is, we're fighting the party of Davos. We're fighting the globalists of Davos. It's the Davos objective that is being played out right here in America and across the world. I received email from four or five different countries, more than that over the weekend, but four or five that I can actually recall. And I was reading the emails and, the agenda is the same. The agenda is the same in every country, and that is to subjugate their national sovereignty to a globalist agenda. You know this, which is why they've got Joe, no one is home Biden, okay, as the puppet, and the puppeteers are pulling the strings. Joe Biden, in my view, and you could take this, I believe, take this to the bank, really won't last through the summer. They can't hide this any longer. They can't hide his intellectual or his mental deficiencies. And I'm not making fun of him. Believe me, I've got a father-in-law with full-blown Alzheimer's and dementia. I mean, totally. And I remember the process, and I remember the look in his eyes. I'm telling you, the look in Biden's eyes right now and his actions mimic what I saw, what I personally witnessed from my father-in-law before he went full-blown out of it. It's sad when you've got a healthy body and a mind that's like a mosquito net in terms of the neurons and synapses and such. And now, again, I'm not making fun. Believe me, I'd be the last person to make fun of that. It's sad. And the people who are handling Biden should be prosecuted as criminals. Jill Biden is a criminal in my view. Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi are criminals in my view for a lot of reasons, but that being one of them. But again, let's hear what the party of Davis has planned for you and I. Watch this.
Some of you may have heard of the Great Reset. That's the hiding in plain sight agenda of the World Economic Forum. They're one of the globalist institutions staffed by leftist elites that want to dictate how you live your life that I mentioned earlier. It was started by a chap named Klaus Schwab, who's run what is the equivalent of the Woodstock for the super rich and super powerful, Davos, for many, many years. Davos is null now, although there are fewer private planes parked there this year than normal. And it's not because they're practicing what they preach and they've all gone green and ditched the gas guzzlers, but it's because of coronavirus. The hypocrisy of these so-called leaders jetting into lecture about the need to take urgent action on climate change by reducing emissions is positively laughable if they weren't so serious about making you pay the price. And the problem was that too many people were starting to laugh at the preposterous climate claims, most notably about humanity only having 5 years left to live on Earth. These claims, of course, were updated every 4 years or so to kick the annihilation plan down the road. And no one, with half a brain, can take them seriously anymore. So in the face of that mockery, a new plan was hatched, this time using coronavirus as the justification to make the very same changes. They've changed the title, though. It's now called the Great Reset. And here is what the WEF Ubermeister has to say about it.
So in terms of changing our mindset, and here what is at the forefront is to create a new model, a new concept, a new definition of capitalism. Capitalism in the old definition comprises only financial capital. But actually, human and social capital is as, and of course, natural capital is as important as...
The Great Reset is only a new term to mask their previous failures to control economic and social foundations. The World Economic Forum is just a cabal of climate crusaders and social engineers. They think they know what is best for the rest of us. It's a veritable who's who of people you should actually be very concerned about. Prince Charles, Al Gore, and climate child Greta Thunberg are among their throng. So is the Secretary General of the United Nations, the President of the European Central Bank, the Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund, George Soros, World Trade Union leaders, chief executives of all the big tech companies, and representatives of non-government organisations like Greenpeace and the World Wildlife Fund. Bizarrely, so too is Australian Green Senator Sarah Hanson-Young. She even appears prominently on their website. Now, it says a lot when a senator elected to represent South Australia is on the anti-capitalist website featuring some of the greatest hypocrites in our lifetimes. It might even give you some cause for concern. Perhaps you could raise them with the senator. But having worked with her in the Senate, I will only say that birds of a feather do indeed tend to flock together. Well, let me put it another way. You're much braver than me if you entrust your future to that lot. And yet, that is what more and more governments are actually doing. They're signing on to this transparently totalitarian agenda that threatens to change our business, our social, and our educational interactions. But totalitarianism has always been a hallmark of the leftist. They want control and power because they think they know better than you do how you should live your life. And nothing they're doing today is entirely new. It is merely cloaked in a different garb. History shows that they will use whatever means are at their disposal to attain the end that they desire. They've employed the same tactics to captivate and convince others of the merits of this approach, with the end result being a disaster for all concerned.
All right. There it is. And it's interesting that we have to get that from Sky News out of Australia, but very well and very succinctly stated. Don't you agree, folks? I think so. And very quickly, and before I bring on Randy and John Moore, I just want to touch on one thing. From February 8th of this year, Joel Pollack from Breitbart, I believe it was, fundamental change, 63 executive orders and actions already put into place by Joe Biden. Now, you know he's not doing this on his own. What you just heard in terms of the Great Reset, Build Back Better here in America and elsewhere, Canada, Australia, all the countries of the world are contingent upon the executive branch creating these executive orders and actions. Joel Pollack, again, 63 executive orders. I'm not going to read them all, but what's relevant to what you just heard, the rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement. President Biden announced that U.S. was returning the agreement, even though the treaty is unfair to the United States and the U.S. had lowered emissions after President Trump had withdrew from the agreement. The ending of the President Trump travel bans, everyone's welcome. We see this happening at the southern border right now. The fact that we are just going to be inundated by illegals in this country. The regulatory reviews. Now, what this did was froze many of President Trump's executive orders and executive actions. And this is all stuff that we're going to be talking about with John and Randy. And staying in the World Health Organization, Biden wrote to the United Nations to declare that the U.S. would not be leaving the World Health Organization despite concerns about China's dominance and the World Health Organization's failure with the Chinese Communist Party virus. Illegal aliens in the census. This has ramifications long beyond the current day. Revoking the Keystone XL pipeline. By the way, the number of jobs that were axed by this alone exceeds 50 to 60,000 jobs. Then, of course, the debasement of America's morality. Consider, of course, what Biden and Pelosi and the left, the communist left, is doing to the morality of the United States by allowing guys who think they are women, which is a mental illness, to allow to participate in women's sports. More regulations coming. Executive order about more promoting more regulations to ensure that regulatory review serves as a tool to affirmatively promote other regulations. Ending the border wall construction, which goes back to the swarming of the United States with illegals, as well as memorandum preserving DACA, the memorandum deferring deportation for Liberians. Just a whole slew of executive orders and actions on the Chinese Communist Party virus, their response to it. And remember, Joe Biden didn't even recall getting the vaccine when he spoke last. And it was interesting to watch someone, a President Trump, actually speak in entire sentences as opposed to Joe Biden's lost look in half sentences and just slaughtering the names. I'm not going to embarrass him by putting up the videos. You know what I'm talking about. And then, of course, memorandum banning the use of the phrase China virus. The Biden administration opposed anti-Asian discrimination, including references to the COVID-19 pandemic by the geographic location of its origin, something that we've done forever. Okay. Elimination of private prisons, systemic racism in past federal housing orders, making climate change the focus of national security, which goes back into the Great Reset and goes into Build Back Better. This country will not be manufacturing anything. And also the executive actions and orders to censor, and of course I'm paraphrasing now, censor conservative or dissenting viewpoints on objectionable things such as the Chinese Communist Party virus, illegal aliens, and don't you dare talk about election fraud. And that brings me to my last point before I bring the gentleman on. The second thing I sent to you has a right-sided broadcasting news. I think it's, I'm not sure which number it is, number one or two. You'll see it there. If you can put that up on the screen, Eric, the tech. There it is right there. Right Side Broadcasting News cuts Mike Lindell's mic after he warns about taking the COVID vaccine. I'm sorry, I was thinking about the voter fraud, but it's the same thing. Says highly censored platform will kick them off. So here is the creation of self-censorship. This is why we abandoned YouTube. We said no. You know, we were stopped from broadcasting on YouTube. We had a timeout. We were put in the corner with a dunce hat on because we dared talk about election fraud. We dared talk about the Chinese Communist Party virus. Well, as CEO of Hagman Investigative Services, which investigates the material for this show, and as president of the Hagman Report, simply put, I am not going to be muzzled. No one's going to muzzle me. No one's going to tell me what to say or tell us what to say or guess what to say. No one is going to do that. I am not going to walk on eggshells for YouTube or any other platform. You're going to get the unvarnished, unfettered truth right here. Good, bad, indifferent. It doesn't matter. So we're not going to play that game at all. And nor should you, which is why Facebook, Twitter, they're garbage. They're garbage because they are the godlike small g oligarchs who tell you what to think and how to think. And I don't think you need to be told that. Randy Taylor, John Moore, come on in. Let's talk.
How are you, guys?
Good. Good to be here.
Good to see you.
Yep.
So, well, yeah, John, let's start out, man. What are you thinking?
Well, we have a new normal. I didn't get to see the president's presentation at CPAC. I was busy all weekend with a seminar, but I will be watching it. And I understand he named names, which needs to be done. If anybody doesn't understand or believe that President Trump is not the head of the Republican Party, well, they're mistaken. President Trump is firmly in charge in leadership of the Republican Party, despite not holding any official leadership position. He is the heart and soul of the Republican Party when it comes to the men and women who make up the majority of people who belong to the Republican Party. Naming names and pointing out the rhinos needed to be done, and he did it. Right now is the time to be planning for the 2024 presidential election, obviously. We talked last week, gentlemen, about the midterms coming up in about a year and a half. That's pretty close, about a year and a half. So these cycles don't go away. In the meantime, we have a new normal. Before the show started, Doug, you were talking about the price of silver being manipulated, which it is. Price of gold being manipulated, which it is. If a person thinks they may need to own such possessions as gold and silver metal, I think right now would be a great time to be doing it. I've been hearing prognostications about the economy since I was graduating from college in 1972. And these cycles come and go.
19 what?
72.
I'm just messing with you.
That's, yeah. Well, it's that's when it was. But anyway, I've made major decisions in the past based on thoughts that the economy was going to completely collapse. That were the incorrect decisions. I have my outlook now is yes, these things could happen, but I'm still going to continue living the life that I want to live, despite the prognostications that, oh my God, the sky is falling, this economy is going to collapse, and we're all going to end up in living in caves with no running water. Take it with a grain of salt that the economy is in dire straits. Yeah, it's got troubles, but if we go through these cycles of the stock market, for example, going to unheard of highs and then having a collapse. And then building back up, the same thing, and having a collapse. Once you've seen these cycles come and go for 40 plus years, as I have, they get to be kind of something expected. In the meantime, the farmers still farm, the truck drivers still drive, the nurses, the doctors, the plumbers, electricians, carpenters, everybody still goes to work every day doing what they do. That hasn't changed. I don't see it's going to change. We do have some issues that could possibly change it. The COVID vaccines could end up killing a lot of people. And we have some highly credentialed doctors giving that warning. I don't know if it's true or not. I hope it's not. I have people very close to me that have taken the vaccine. I'm not going to take the vaccine. At the Republican Central Committee a week ago, a week ago tonight, we had people saying they were going to take the vaccine.
Well, it's really not a vaccine. A vaccine, by definition, provides immunity to a disease. This provides no immunity to anything. It's in the best case scenario, it merely reduces the chance of getting a severe case of the virus if one catches it. So it's a medical treatment, not a vaccine.
Right. It's an RNA gene therapy.
Right.
We need to figure out another name to call it, but if we say vaccine, everybody knows what we're talking about. Vaccines traditionally are a reduced live or already dead form of whatever it is they're trying to protect you from, so your body will develop immunities against it. You're right, Doug. That's not what this is. It's something that will change your DNA forever. God gave me my DNA. I'm not about to let somebody inject a poison to my bloodstream to change my DNA. That's God's gift to me, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. And I'm sure most of our listeners, Doug, are not going to allow it to happen to them either, that they will reject the vaccine despite the incentives, the threats, the promises. Some companies are offering cash incentives for employees to get the vaccine. I get a newsletter from the travel industry, specifically airlines and cruises, and we're already seeing some foreign airlines require proof of vaccine to get on the airplane. Mm-hmm. We're already seeing COVID testing required to get on an airplane or a cruise ship. And I expect that will segue into proof of a vaccination in the, over the next, I would say, 90 days. It's going to happen pretty quick. Very dangerous stuff.
Well, and, you know, and John, sorry for interrupting you. And Randy, I don't know whether you saw this. We didn't really have a chance to speak, but there was a doctor in LifeSite last week. In fact, I think it was a week ago today, ran this article. Dr. Simone Gold. She's a frontline doctor. FBI broke down my door in SWAT team raid of 20 men. This is just for speaking about the non-vaccine vaccine. She appeared on an interview with Michelle Malkin, but she is the founder of American Frontline Doctors. She discussed the lack of authentic informed consent with respect to the experimental vaccines, censorship as a crime against humanity, and how she was subjected to a massive SWAT team raid by the FBI. This how, you know, so.
And what time of day was it? Do we know, Doug?
I don't know. It looks in that picture, which apparently was, that's not a stock picture, I don't think.
Well,
or maybe it is.
It may be a stock picture.
Yeah, maybe it is a stock picture.
Well,
I have a reason for asking. What was the Donald Trump associate that the 20 men raided at
Roger
3
Stone.
O'clock? Roger Stone, yeah. Similar example. I'd like to point out, because we always have new listeners, how John Gotti was arrested. John Gotti, for decades, was a violent criminal mobster, responsible for many men dying and hundreds of millions of dollars changing hands for drugs, prostitution, illegal gambling, and so forth. So the FBI had to arrest John Gotti. So what did they do? Well, they had him under surveillance, so they waited till he went to his favorite restaurant where he's having dinner with about five or six of his friends. The FBI walks in and wearing their coats and ties. Mr. Gotti, would you come with us, please? You're under arrest. No SWAT team. No dressing up like Teenage Ninja Turtles. And Mr. Gotti, would you come with us, please? They didn't wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, scare him out of his wife, to arrest him with a 20-man SWAT team.
And with a media escort.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, that's the way the FBI used to do things. It wasn't all that long ago. It really wasn't all that long. We're not talking about J. Edgar Hoover days. We're talking about, when was it, 22, 25 years ago. And to arrest somebody like they've been doing, nonviolent people who, if they did anything, it was a nonviolent white-collar matter. If they did anything at all, Roger Stone didn't do anything at all. That's why he was not prosecuted.
But they sure made him look like John Dillinger, didn't they?
Well, no, they made him look worse than John Gotti is what they did, is what they attempted to do. And this poor woman, this doctor, she's a medical doctor, Doug? Was it arrested?
Yes. She's the founder of America Frontline Doctors. Yes.
Yeah.
It's inexcusable to treat this woman who, and what crime was she charged with, if anything? Do we know?
I was getting into the article itself. I am not 100% sure if she was charged. Let me just see here.
Where exactly was that, Doug?
I believe this is in Florida. This didn't make a bump in the news when it happened, but let's see here.
If you recall back, I think it was October, November, we had that video up about the guy in Germany.
Yes.
The guy that was speaking out against vaccines, and he's doing his podcast, just like we're doing. And all of a sudden, boom, they look like the SWAT team.
Yep.
To knock this guy off the air. I mean, it's over there. It's a serious business. If you speak out against the vaccinations, speak out against the mask, That's nuts.
No, no. And, you know, John and Randy, look, anyone who talks like we're talking right now, what happened to Roger Stone, what happened to the man in Germany, what happened to Dr. Simone Gold can happen to any one of us.
Oh, yeah.
And people have to realize that. Hey, I'm waiting. I'm waiting because we have enemies. John, you have enemies. Randy, look, we all have enemies. And they cannot afford for the truth to get out. Enough people who are red-pilled, who understand what's going on. Hey, this is all about the Great Reset.
Yeah.
So this can happen to any one of us.
And people like us scare the crap out of them. We scare the crap out of the establishment. We absolutely do because we speak the truth. There's not a bunch of hype here. We're not yelling and screaming and looking for headlines. We're just telling it like it is.
That's right.
And we scare these people. You know why? Because we're calm, cool, collected, and we're telling you about it. And we can back it up.
That's right. That's right. You know, and the more people who understand exactly what is taking place in this country and across the world, I think it obviously represents a greater threat. Well, look at the Capitol. Look at Camp Pelosi or Fort Pelosi, as it's referred to now. Jack Posobiec, a friend of mine,
calls it landfill Pelosi.
Yeah. Well, that would be, yeah. You know, and so we need right now, I believe, we need everyone to be awake, paying attention. And you know, John, you said something, though, I have to disagree with. New normal. I don't accept this as new normal. How can we? John, how can you and how can me and how can Randy, how can we accept this is not normal. Nothing about this is normal.
We don't. It's just, like John said, though, they're presenting.
I'm referring to a new normal in terms of overall lifestyle, not the actions of the FBI, which is a criminal organization.
That's just another word in the propaganda pushed by these clowns.
All right.
The new normal.
Okay. I'll accept that. That makes sense.
Okay. Doesn't mean we accepted it, sir. All right.
Right.
You might be trying to sell me that car, but I don't want it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, absolutely. And John brings up so many valid points that what we fall into is this trap of preaching to the choir.
Yep.
And what's really important, please, our listeners out there and the folks that are with us right now, here on this show with John Moore, with Doug Hagman, with myself. Tell somebody, please. Yeah, are you going to be accepted? Not necessarily. Somebody might laugh at you and walk away. But tell them. You know what? You have the responsibility to educate people and tell them what you know. Just like we have the responsibility to witness to people on our Lord's behalf. Right. Okay, if we're around somebody our entire life and we never once brought up the Lord and that person dies and goes to hell, their blood is on our hands. And this is very much the same thing. And I'm sure these two gentlemen agree with me. This is our moral responsibility as human beings, just human beings, to tell people the truth. My wife asked me about that vaccine yesterday. And I said, honey, if I were to get that vaccine, it might not kill me today, but it's going to kill me in a couple years. And I'm in no hurry to die. And the part that really scares me, I can make those decisions for myself. I can make that decision for my wife, or she can make it. I can make them for the family. But then you're going to get to a point where our kids aren't going to be able to go to school because they don't have the vaccine. Because I am in absolutely no hurry to put that poison in my daughter's body. And we're going to come to some hard decisions here soon. And I suggest you listen to Mr. Moore here. I suggest you listen to Doug, and I suggest you listen to this rattle trap Randy Taylor, okay? We're trying to help you. I'm sorry, John. I didn't mean to interrupt. Please go ahead, sir. My apologies.
John, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Well, they
sorry
will
about,
use,
sorry
they will
about use, that.
No problem. The people who want us to accept the gene therapy vaccines, they will use promises. They will use threats. They will use coercion. What they can't do is pass a law, which they would like to, but they can't. That would be problematic for a lot of reasons. They will use social harassment, that that your friends and neighbors will treat you as some kind of bad person if you don't get the vaccine.
It's social, like that peer pressure.
So peer pressure. Yeah. Absolutely, they will. And they will get a lot of compliance. I'm shocked and surprised at the compliance in my area. These barefoot hillbillies that I live among, which I include myself as a barefoot hillbilly, are pretty independent people who don't trust government. But there's still way too many of them have decided to go ahead and accept the vaccine. Local sheriff's department, when I talked to the sheriff about it the other day, he has more than 40 employees, both deputized and civilian employees. Five of those employees have decided to get it. The other 40 plus are not going to get it. He has a lot of combat veterans, and recent combat veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, by the way, which is pretty common for law enforcement across the country. Now, these guys are all pumped up with muscles and testosterone and tattoos, and they're some tough guys. And they know that a lot of what we've been doing in Afghanistan is protecting opium to be grown and distributed. They know the real deal about the federal government of the United States being involved in illegal criminal activity. And they're not about to trust them when it comes to this gene therapy vaccine. It's just not going to happen. And they tell everybody they know not to trust them either. So the word gets around. Not sufficiently, in my opinion, but the word gets around. At my website, gentlemen, we've got a video from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny talking about the dangers of the vaccine, Dr. Judy Mikovits talking about the dangers of the vaccine. Previous attempts to make this type of gene therapy vaccine using the normal protocols for any vaccine, and when they got to the animal testing stage with every attempt, they had to stop every time because all the animals died. Well, this time around, with warp speed, they bypassed and eliminated all the animal testing. So now, instead of animal testing, we have human guinea pigs. And my understanding, and we got a new video posted on my website also, is that medical doctors report less than 1% of adverse reactions to vaccines in general, including this one. So with that in mind, the numbers being reported at times 99 are really scary. Really, really scary. The numbers of, and I don't call them side effects. I call them direct effects. They're not side effects. They are direct effects.
And if I may, this is what we know. This is what we know to date. There's still going to be more things show up about this vaccine.
Oh, yes. Yes. In layman's terms, once you've accepted this gene therapy vaccine, it changes the way your body reacts when it's exposed to any coronavirus, which is about 20 of them, including the common cold, by the way. And instead of your immune system kicking in when you get the common cold, your immune system will basically fight your body and kill your body, in layman's terms. So even a common cold can kill you if you've accepted this gene therapy vaccine. Is what I'm getting. Are you getting the same thing, Randy?
Yeah, the like it turns on itself. They were using that same principle a few years back, experimenting with injecting a cancer cell into something because the body would attack it.
Right.
So this is what you're saying, is that's almost an accelerated form of that.
It is. It is.
That is scary.
Well, what they're doing has never been done for human beings before, and every attempt to do it with animals has failed, with the animals all dying. God gave me my DNA, and I have no intention of letting somebody shoot something into my body that's going to change my God-given DNA. That's just simply not going to happen. And we need to keep emphasizing this, gentlemen, so get the word out as much as we can that these gene therapy vaccines are dangerous. They have the potential of killing you because they screw up the way your body reacts to the 20-plus coronaviruses that are out there that we know of. There may be more than that. Not that it matters. It's enough for me.
And explain it. People, coronavirus isn't new.
No, they've been around for decades.
I think a lot of people fall under that illusion that this is something new that popped up last year. It's been around for a long time.
No, coronavirus has been around for a really long time. Yeah. There's nothing new about coronaviruses.
Well, let me just say this. I believe that there are different strains of coronavirus. This one
This is called weaponized.
Weaponized, exactly. And you know, okay, folks, we have to understand that this, going back into the teens now, we had P4 bioweapons labs experimenting with gain-of-function studies. Mm-hmm. And Fauci was a part of these gain-of-function studies. And the U.S. said, no, we're not going to do this here in the United States. So what happened? They moved it to China with the NIH money subsidizing these studies. Now, how this virus got out, whether it was intentional or accidental, I don't know. But the fact is, they shouldn't be monkeying around with this stuff in this bioweapon atmosphere. And this is what people need to understand, because I'll tell you what, right now I've got my stepson and his wife are very, very, very sick from this coronavirus. All right. And they've got 3 children. And I'm to the point now where I want names. I want names. I want addresses. I want positions. I want evidence. I want to know who is responsible for this cluster, you know, of a virus. I want names. And in terms of vaccines, the drug companies, politicians, medical establishments, the media, you know, they've joined forces to universally refer to this vaccine when it's not a vaccine, with the intention of manipulating people into feeling safer about undergoing a medical treatment because they are being deceitful. I don't trust them, and I want nothing to do with this BS, okay? And look, again, I know, because this has affected me personally, but mm-hmm. I'm not taking this crap that they're dishing out. And I think there are natural remedies to increase immune systems as opposed to this stuff. And if this stuff was so safe, then answer me this, riddle me this. Why are the drug companies, why do they have zero liability if anything goes wrong and they can't be sued? Why is that?
Because there's many things wrong.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. John, to you, sir.
Well, for a company, for an industry to get the United States Congress to absolve them from liability for the products they make, I'm pretty sure that's never happened before that I'm aware of. And it's quite extraordinary.
86 is when you're talking about immunity from,
right.
Yeah, 86 is when, right. During Reagan's tenure, right. Is when the vaccine makers, received immunity, blanket immunity, but, right. Subsequent to 86. So.
Well, none of us are aware of that ever happening previously for an entire industry to be given immunity from, the consequences of the products that they manufacture being used in the proper way that they were intended to be used, as opposed to Ford automobiles killing people, you know, because something went wrong. It wasn't intended use of the product by the manufacturer. So, that's extraordinary. But that's where we are. And they've got these in a place of the liability for the companies. We have the federal government stepped into its place with special courts that deal only with liability from vaccines, hearing cases and granting awards if they find in favor of the plaintiff. Very extraordinary circumstances. And it's a good gig if you can get it. To have the federal government take your place in line in liability instead of your own company or your insurance carrier, which is really the people that would be on the hook, would be the insurance carriers for the pharmaceutical companies. So here we are with a untested, unproven gene therapy that we have people with credentials that medical credentials that are very serious, board-certified medical doctors who've been in practice for years and years, A medical doctor is basically a scientist, gentlemen. That's their training. They're trained to be scientists. And to have people with these kind of credentials warning us not to take the DNA therapy vaccine is very disturbing and something we need to pay attention to so we don't end up dead ourselves. And you and I, Randy and Doug and myself, we all need to get the word out as much as we can every week. Don't take the vaccine. Simply don't do it. It has great potential for harm. It's something that isn't necessary. We've got adequate treatments. I have the ivermectin protocols on my website highlighted in yellow. The ivermectin protocols will keep you from getting it in the first place. And if you do get it, the protocols have a slight difference for people who do get the COVID-19 to help them recover quickly, relatively painlessly, and very inexpensively.
Right.
I do the ivermectin protocols every day myself, except for the ivermectins. It's several vitamins, and they're inexpensive. They're handy, it's great to do this and be healthier overall. We all need to be doing that. Following protocol.
I take vitamins religiously every day, and I especially the zinc and the vitamin D.
Right. I take D and C and B1, I think it is. It's all good stuff. Absolutely.
And there were some studies, or there was a study done, I shouldn't say some, of the lethality of the Chinese Communist Party virus. And during the autopsies, the toxicology, or I shouldn't say toxic, the fluids that were extracted, blood tests or blood and serum and such. Anyway, what I'm getting to is in 100% of the cases of the fatalities studied by this, in this one particular study, I don't have the study with showing here, low levels of vitamin D in the human body were detected. So D is important, of course.
I think that's one of the reasons why the mortality rate and the infection rate is so high in the cold months when everybody's indoors, because the sun is a natural supplier of vitamin D. So I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Well,
the lack of vitamin D, because this thing accelerates in the wintertime.
And you know what, both you gentlemen, I mean, look at the numbers, a couple of oddities with numbers. Obviously, the flu is no longer here in the United States. I think, 165 cases?
Yeah, we're all better now.
So, you know, apparently the flu, one thing the Chinese Party virus did is get rid of the flu. But if you study the African nation and the cases there and what they're doing to mitigate the exposure, it's a lot different than what's going on here, yet the numbers are per capita better. So I would say sunlight does have, you know, vitamin D, I should say, levels have stuff to do with it, or a significant.
Well, also in Africa, Doug, they have massive issues with the malaria,
right,
and a huge percentage of the population takes quinine on a regular basis.
Yep. There you go.
Yep. Yeah, I actually, I've spoken to a number of doctors, and the doctors that we've had on here, and this was about actually voter fraud. We're talking about this and saying that, you know, we could have saved a lot of lives through off-label use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and other such drugs. So there you go.
Which I think all the outcry by the Democrats and Fauci and all those against that was two part. One, they didn't want people to get better. And secondly, because Donald Trump believed in that drug combination, bad. Yep. Orange man bad.
Yep.
So isn't it sad? Well, once again, we have an example of politics dictating whether you live or die.
That's what we got.
Yep.
That's exactly what we got.
Yep.
And you know, let me ask you guys this too, because this is something I find very interesting. And again, on my campaign, this is my personal campaign. I want everyone to know in this part of the country, there's a chain of convenience stores called Country Fair. I personally will never enter or purchase anything from Country Fair again because of their position on masks. No masks, you can't buy anything, okay? Despite the fact that science says otherwise in terms of, you know, how masks prevent the coronavirus. So just to let you know, I personally am taking part in the cancel culture. I'm canceling, you know, I would spend, in fact, the vehicles that we have that we use for investigations would fill up at this gas station, Country Fair, convenience store. So just to let you know,
but don't they throw you a mask overhand when you don't wear one?
Actually, it was thrown, underneath the plexiglass, you know.
Oh, okay.
Which I had to, you know, push back at this little pimple-faced, puke at the time. But anyway, I'm not going to put up with that. And I'm telling you what, we have to, it's time everyone needs to say, no, enough of this, because masks are a symbol of submission. They don't work. And in fact, studies from the 1918 Spanish flu. What was the biggest cause of death from? They had masks back then, cloth masks back then. It was, of course, bacterial pneumonia. That's Doug, one aspect of things. Go ahead,
Doug. They killed their mask argument within the first month of this crap.
I'll get it. Gee, you know, you keep calling.
Sorry. That's my furnace guy. They killed the mask argument right from the get-go, because in the beginning we were told not to wear masks.
Of course.
And then you turn around and wear the mask, but we don't have receptacles to put the dirty mask. It's just okay to throw it in your garbage. And I hope you people have been doing like I suggested. This is a federal thing. So I would put the mask in a federal box of some sort.
Yeah.
I'm not saying exactly, but I'm sure you can find something that looks kind of fun. We'll stick your mask in there.
And put it, put it in plastic and put a label on it, put a stamp on it, and send it to Fauci. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Is that okay? Yeah. Hey, FBI, you know. John, I mean.
Well, what were they going to charge you with? If they charge you with trying to harm somebody with hazardous material, then they're admitting that the masks are hazardous while at the same time having no requirements for proper disposal.
Very good point, John. So you kind of got them by the short hairs at that point.
So, in fact, in the same courthouse where they'd be prosecuting you for mailing a hazardous substance to Dr. Fauci, the same courthouse has no receptacles for the discarded masks.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd make sure the defense counsel knew that.
It just proves the sham over and over and over. They've done in some ways such a poor sales job on this. And in other ways, they found the perfect sucker audience out there to sell it to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
You know,
I would like to think we're smarter than that as people.
I think it's a rather complex issue. It was L.A. Marzulli talking about the Milgram experiments and such, but that's kind of a trail that we don't have to go down. The virtue signaling by mask wearers is what really mm-hmm. gets me. Okay. It's a virtual signaling kind of thing. Look, I'm serious, if masks really did work against the transmission, if there were scientific evidence to back this up, I'm not sure I'd have a problem with wearing a mask. If there mm-hmm. were scientific, but there is no scientific evidence. The mm-hmm. virus, as John, you said this, the virus is microns smaller.
One micron. Okay. One micron.
All right. So, And the mask, cloth mask, surgical mask, or what?
10 microns 10. On the cloth mask. No.
Yeah. Okay, so.
No. I'm just amused that we quarantine the healthy. That's a new one.
It's called tyranny.
It's never happened.
Yeah, and one of the things I saw, and I don't want to misquote the airline. I don't know how many people, either you saw this. There were a family. There was a father, mother, and I think a year and a half old infant in a car seat. Hasidic Jews were kicked off this airline. Did you see anyone see this video?
No.
Oh. Why? Because the 1.5 year old did not have a mask.
Oh, come on.
Now hang on. It gets better or worse depending on your attitude. And again, I don't want to misquote the name of the airline. I saw it earlier today. I don't have it in front of me. There's a couple of video clips out there, but one of them showed the staff of the airline actually clapping and saying, you know, we got them off. Yeah, we got them off. And it just had, to me, a lot of anti-Semitic overtones to it. There was another agenda because the CDC states clearly, as well as the airline's policy that conforms to the CDC standards, saying that anyone under the age of 2 does not have to have a mask. So you've got these Hasidic Jews being ejected from a flight because a...
Sounds like a lawsuit to me.
Yeah. Exactly. But my thing is, you know what? Bankrupt these bastards. Let's bankrupt all of it. You know what? And don't comply. If nobody complied, because I'm not talking about, you know, I mean, if the masks don't work, don't comply. And if no one complies, then, hey, we can win because, you know, what are they going to do? Throw us all in jail? What happens when no one shows up for a flight? What happens when no one shops at the store in Canada where you've got friends? Guy in a tire store, almost, you know, I can't breathe. I don't know if you saw that video. The store workers grabbed this guy, put him in a friggin' headlock because he didn't have a mask on. How much sense does that make?
Well, I wish somebody would try that with me. See how well that goes. It's getting outrageous, people. At first, you know, at the very first when they came out with this COVID thing, the first thing I smelled was this is going to be an attempt to throw the election. That's the first thing I smelled. There's something, you know, you see something coming and you go, something right here. And I know jack about medicine, okay? I know if I need to sleep at night and I have a cold, I take NyQuil. That's about the extent of my medical. I can dress a wound. But as far as the reasoning or logic behind medicine, I have none. But as soon as they started this COVID thing, you could smell what was going on. As we were talking about earlier, the Great Reset, the UN's 2030 agenda, the Davos Plan, the World Economic Forum. When you start putting all that together, you have to be able to see that the COVID was the Pandora's box to do all of this. This is the vehicle that they're using on top of all these other things to put this into action. Closing the businesses. That's part of this Great Reset. Because if they have their way a year from now or 2 years from now, you won't own those businesses. You won't own your home.
That's right. You'll be happy, though.
I sent something to Doug earlier about, well, there'll be no need for personal holdings or real estate or to own real estate. I mean, they say it right in their verbiage, however you say that. They don't even try and hide this. And this 2030 agenda, the sustainability, where it's mass immigration and climate reform, climate change, you know, killing off the beef supply and making people eat what they chose to eat, what these people choose for you to eat. Folks, all these different pieces are being put together to enslave us. Tell your neighbor, we give you enough information. Come to the website. Go to John's website. There's tons of information. Educate the people to your left and to your right and in front of you, please.
Please, indeed.
Yes. Well, thank you, Randy. Getting this information and getting it posted is a challenge to make sure that the information is correct, that we can stand behind it. I work with several people to find solid information from great sources that we can depend on as being the real deal as opposed to somebody's flight of fancy. Mm-hmm. And it's there at my website at thelibertyman.com. Articles and videos by doctors and scientists giving the real deal, not make-believe fantasies, but the real deal about the gene therapy vaccines that people are lining up at the Republican Central Committee meeting. One of the attendees was talking about driving 2.5-3 hours one way to get a vaccine that he thought would be available. It wasn't available locally, the COVID-19 vaccine. And people, what I hear also when I hear people talking about the vaccines, one of the first things they bring up is, did you have a reaction? And they'll say, no, did you have a reaction? So it's well known that the possibility of reactions is a great possibility. And that's why people are asking each other about reactions, which is something I've never heard in response to other vaccines. People get the annual flu shot, for example, that many people get, which I never had. I still know people who are suffering from the swine flu vaccine from the mid-70s. My wife at the time advised me, she was a registered nurse, she said, John, you don't want to get that thing. And I'm glad I didn't, because it killed a lot of people, and others have been sick now for almost half a century from that swine flu vaccine from the mid-1970s. Mm-hmm. Ruin their lives, literally. Ruin their lives.
You know what, John, to me, okay, there's something very alarming and very disturbing, and maybe you can speak to this, about the masses who are being pictured and depicted in the media following one another to get jabbed. Pictures, posting pictures of themselves on social media getting injected with a drug. And exerting peer pressure to do the same. That, to me, there's something not right about this. Mm-hmm. You know, and John, I mean, what is this? Because I remember the swine flu. I'm not that young. I'm not as young as Randy Taylor, okay? And I'm not as old as John Moore, so I'm in the middle. I'm the middle child here. But I remember that swine flu vaccine, and I remember my mom, okay, specifically, talking to the doctor about it she was going to get it, and her doctor at the time, who was pretty based at the time, said, no, don't do that. So anyway, you know, what the hell is wrong with people that they're falling for this, I don't know, this greatest medical experiment in the history of mankind? What's wrong?
Because the government sold them on, it's for your own good, we're here to help.
That's right.
And that's where they get these clowns. You get one of the biggest things on the left, and one of the hallmarks of being a Democrat is government dependency. And this is another example of people that have fallen prey to that. It's a falsehood of being able to depend on the government. And you're signing literally your life away. And that's scary. Folks, people are dying from this.
I just got an email, gentleman, from a county official here in my county about vaccinations being available tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. for individuals who are phase 1A, phase 1B, tiers 1, and tiers 2 may register to get the vaccines at the Knights of Columbus in Cuba, Missouri. And there will be an armed deputy on site, by the way. I know that for a fact because the sheriff said so, just to make sure nothing goes wrong.
No. Okay.
Go ahead, Doug. You're going to say something good here.
I see you're holding your face there, Doug.
It's going to be a good one.
Our armed deputy, is there a reason that is that so they do take the vaccine or this non-vaccine, or is that, you know, in case somebody jumps in line, they can shoot them, or is that, you know, I mean, why?
It's a generic reason to maintain order.
Maintain order.
That is the only reason given. Okay.
They need somebody to carry the body out when you drop dead.
Oh, no, that's everything. Deputies aren't going to carry any bodies, so they don't have to.
No, yeah. Trust
me. It brings up something kind of funny and sad. I go to the chief's meetings and about two or three times a year, the paramedics will thank the firemen for cutting out the side of the house to remove the patient because they won't fit through the door.
Wow.
And you know, all the ambulances had been changed out, and all the gurneys had been changed because they no longer can handle have the capacity to handle the weight of the patients anymore.
I got to tell you, that's the Stacey Abrams principle,
the Stacey Abrams phenomena. Yeah, you know, back in the '70s, okay, and when I was in EMS and carrying people and bodies and.
Sweet.
I gotta tell you, all right. I got John one time and Randy one time, and I'm dead serious about this. Okay. It was like 3 in the afternoon and we get a call, a rescue call to a woman was stuck inside her house. Okay. And the call didn't make sense. And so we get there and she was having trouble breathing and she was stuck inside her house. Well, when we got there, here's this woman Lord forgive me for making fun. I don't really mean to make fun of people, but she was in her 70s. She was a good 300 pounds. Okay. And, she was totally naked, you can't unsee that. And she was taking a shower drunk. She was drunk, absolutely hammered. Okay. Three in the afternoon. And she was getting out of the shower. And she fell between the shower and the toilet. All right. And I swear this is the honest God's truth. All right. My partner and I were trying to get her out. All right. And we were trying not to laugh, but we're trying to. All right. We couldn't get her out. And we were thinking like, okay, maybe we can rub KY or Vaseline on both sides.
I was going to say, you need some salad oil.
Yeah. Right. We ended up having to call, we were going to call a plumber. And how do you explain that to a plumber?
I wouldn't explain anything. I'd just say, look, I got a problem out here with the toilet. That's
it. You got to get here now, right?
Yeah,
right now.
Please hurry.
So anyway, we ended up calling the fire department. And that's what reminded me. We ended up calling the fire department and said, look, we can't get this woman out. And by the way, she's having a good old time. She's laughing. And when she fell, she knocked the wind out of her. Okay. Wow. Anyway, so she's.
The wind.
Whatever. I don't know. But I got to tell you, man, it was a sight to behold. Okay. So, John, I thank the fire department as well for nothing to say, Eric the Tech, about that. I lost my earpiece. Where'd it go? All right. Sorry about that, guys. I didn't mean to digress, but stories.
I sent Eric and I sent you, Doug, a quick picture. A man that somebody put together just shows another example of the ridiculousness of the mask. Like I said, visitor to Eric, you can pop that up on the screen sometime here. I sent it to you too, Doug.
Okay.
It's just another example. If you just use common sense, how stupid this is. So you're standing at the airport, everybody's social distancing, got their masks on. 30 minutes later, where are you at? Packed into the fuselage, shoulder to shoulder.
Recycled air.
Doesn't that tell you people something?
Yeah.
You can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. I mean, come people, wake up. I understand you hate Donald Trump, that you hate Republicans, but you're signing your own death warrant here. Come on, people, wake up. Please forget the left and the right. Use your brain. These people that walk around the left go, oh, we're woke. You ain't woke.
No.
You ain't even close to woke. We're patriots. No, you're not a patriot. You're an idiot.
Well, okay. So now let's advance to what, if you guys don't mind, let's advance to what I was talking about earlier. It was Frontier Airlines. This happened apparently yesterday based on the timestamps on the Twitter feed. Watch this, and just watch this, and folks, I want you to think about this, Because, you know, people ask, how is it possible that the Jews and Christians and victims were made to, you know, went into these cattle cars back in Nazi Germany? You know, and that's a legitimate question. And watch this. Watch this. This is Frontier Airlines.
Of sexual.
To claim that he won the election.
Hey, Jim, I'm Dave Barkas from The Federalist. When are you guys going to start covering Cuomo?
That's the wrong one, although...
That had potential, though, buddy.
That's the wrong one. That's Jim Acosta. I just sent it to you.
Jim Acosta. He's a bitch laughing
at him. By the way, we got to get to that because Laura Loomer, who's a good friend of the show... was it Laura? No, I'm sorry. The Federalist. This is the Federalist versus Jim Acosta. But okay, so it's this one. It was my fault for Miss. Oh, hang on a minute. We're getting it. All right. So, will you just let me know when it's ready, and then we'll go from there. You guys go ahead and continue. Here it is. Okay, here it is. Eric the Tech, by the way, is. Folks, can we have a round of applause for Eric the Tech, all you people?
Absolutely. That guy makes things happen. Uh-huh. You know how many times during the show I'll fire something to him, and he's got it up on the screen in 30 seconds. I mean, this guy is incredible.
Yeah, see it when John Moore. Yeah, see it when Steve Quayle's on. The electrons are not even done being inconvenienced by the email, and Steve is saying, is it ready yet? I love Steve Quayle too, by the way. God bless him. Eric the Tech, he's marvelous. All right. Go ahead. Play this. This is on Frontier Airlines. Now watch this. Listen. Yeah, for the radio listeners, what you're not looking at is a Hasidic couple in the back of, toward the back of an airplane, or the front of an airplane, somewhere in an airplane. With an 18-month-old in the car seat. An 18-month-old not wearing a mask, the others are. For the family.
Lila,
get
the phone,
Lila, get
the phone.
Don't look
at the phone.
It's... They're being ejected. You'll see the child. You see the car seat? Child's in the car seat. It's hard to see.
She has a one-year-old baby.
She's pregnant. What do you want from her? Okay.
What are you accomplishing?
You're going to pay the consequences. I'm having it all on tape. This is going to go all over the news.
This is Nazi Germany.
This is going all over the news. You're all going to suffer the consequences of this.
All right, there's another video, but I'll spare that. But you talk about bad optics, gentlemen. There's some bad optics there, and there's some bad juju there, okay? J-U-J-U is no other spelling of that. Let's play the other one. Eric says, play the other one.
He's just itching to do
it.
The baby, this is the baby. That's 1 year old. 1 year old.
ليش لازم خمر وكل عن يتحكم
لايك دو ارو
Kleine Scharuch, kein Schub, keine Pfeile rein. Ist das denn Scharuch?
The crew does not care. The crew is actually odd.
This is the lady, this is the supervisor. This is the lady.
No, because they said
make her famous. You know what to do, folks.
That last world. The little kids wanted to eat, and they took off their masks for a few minutes, and they started making us eat. Before they even took it off, they were busy telling us where they were from.
This is an anti-Hasidic Jew. That's what this is all about. This is an anti-Semitic. Anti-Semites! You haters!
Here you have the babies less than 2 years.
Okay. And
where's Chuck Schumer on this?
He's under the seat. Yeah.
But I'm saying he's the guy that's always acting with that fake outrage about anti-Semitism in the U.S.
Right.
Where is he?
Well, apparently virtue signaling over masks trumps anti-Semitism or conformance to the Great Reset trumps anti-Semitism every day. And there's like other videos too. I apologize for not having the proper ones in the proper order, but John and Randy post-event interviews where there were witnesses who said, look, the crew clapped. They were, we did it. We did it. Meaning we got them out. Anybody who puts a mask on a child of 2 years old is, in my view, is guilty of child abuse and should be, All right. So anyway, but
well, the other thing, remember we saw a video here not too long ago about a woman at her son's football game. And security comes in there and ends up slamming her around because she doesn't have a mask on. And nobody does a thing. Being roughed up over a mask?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You see videos constantly, people in Costco, different places, being roughed up by the cops over a mask.
John, I got to tell you something. And Randy, you know this, but John, I got to tell you directly. I'm still waiting for somebody to come up to me in a big box store. Okay. Or any place and tell me to put on a mask. With the exception of Country Fair, which I will never go to again. And if you're listening to me, folks, I'm boycotting Country Fair. So just telling you, Country Fair, you can contact their corporate office. And ask, but anyway, I've yet to have somebody come up and say, where's your mask? Maybe it's because of my delightful appearance. I don't know. John, have you had anyone come up and say that?
I've intentionally gone into retail establishments, a restaurant, a clothing store, a supermarket without a mask and they had a sign at the front. And, well, one gentleman, I walked to a supermarket and I was just going to get a bunch of flowers for my girlfriend. And, he says, where's your mask, old man? And I said, where I come from, we don't wear a mask. And he just kind of grumbled and moved on. In the clothing store, they confronted me at the front. They said, sir, and I just walked past him like I didn't hear him. And I picked out something to purchase. I went to the cash register, and the manager took it off the counter and said I was not allowed to make the purchase, and I left the store. In a restaurant, it was one of these fast food places, and the clerks were demanding that I wear a mask. So I took out mask and had a slit right over the nose and the mouth. The girl said, well, you can breathe. And I said, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. And so I said, well, I have a different mask. So I put on a mosquito net mask that we sell at my website at thelibertyman.com. And the girl said, once again, you can breathe. And I said, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. And so I didn't like any one of my masks. And the one male employee, he says, you have to wear that's not a good mask. And I said, are you the mask police? And he says, yeah, I'm the mask police. These signs are pretty generic. They say a face covering, or they say wear a mask. They say nothing about what kind of mask. I have another mask I wear that has a 2-inch diameter hole cut over the nose and mouth. And it, above that, with a Sharpie, I wrote obey.
yeah.
And sometimes I wear that.
Isn't that, in a sense, and I'm not trying to downplay that, or I'm not trying to assail what you're saying. Isn't that like, you know, the stars back in Nazi Germany, you know, with saying obey or, you know, in other words, pithy sayings on the stars. In my view, this is all part of the Great Reset. And Alex Jones did a fantastic show. I guess my whole thing is, if you are going to, we have to identify, isolate, and you know what, bankrupt these organizations who are saying you've got to wear masks. We have to step out of our comfort zone and say no and hell no. And you know what? Not only am I not going to buy from you, I'm going to tell everyone I know that we're not going to buy from you. And because otherwise, the next thing is the proof of vaccination.
That's coming next.
We're only steps away from that.
Yeah, I'm on a mailing list for in the cruise and airline industry for travel. Event planners and travel planners. I'm on this list that I get their internal newsletters. And we already have compulsory COVID testing for both airlines and cruise liners. And we already have two or three foreign airlines requiring proof of vaccination to board the airplane. So it's already here. It's just not in the United States yet, but we already have airlines requiring proof of vaccination to get on the plane, and cruise ships are already talking about proof of vaccination to get on the cruise ship. So it's we're right at the edge of it, gentlemen.
Well, okay, so what are you guys going to do? What are you two going to do about that? Because I don't the last thing I want to do is take a cruise. Sorry, ladies, no way. And I could care less about flying. I don't want to go anywhere because I don't like anybody anyway. So, but what are you guys going to do when that comes?
Well, I've canceled. I had two cruises canceled this year, a Caribbean cruise and Alaskan cruise. I've canceled both of them.
Alaskan cruise is canceled.
Everybody loves the Alaskan cruise.
Yeah, but Canada's got it now where you can't sail up around that end of the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Regardless, I canceled both those. I won't. I stopped flying commercial years ago unless it's some kind of family emergency. I drive. If I have to go to visit my daughter, I drive 2,100 miles one way. If I have to go to Florida, I drive down there. And it's a beautiful, big country, and these are very pleasant drives.
But it's going to get to the point where we're not going to be able to go and buy and sell. This, to me, is like the mark of the beast. I mean, we're right on that precipice.
We're right at the edge of it.
We're right there. And when they talk about, you know, everybody says, you know, in the Bible, they misread it and says on your hand. Well, actually says in your hand. Okay. But it doesn't matter. We're right on that edge of not being able to buy, sell, or trade unless we have a mark or a certificate or a implant, or we're right there.
We are
right, absolutely, on that ragged edge. And I have a problem with just sitting back and letting it happen.
We're doing what we can. The three of us are doing what we can. We have a massive audience to notify people that civil disobedience is an American tradition.
Absolutely.
And we have, you know, plenty of historical precedents for that. We need to implement civil disobedience at every step of the way. Just do that and keep doing it.
Yeah, and they're going to call us bad guys. Look at what happened in at the Capitol on the 6th. We're labeled already.
Right, right.
But you can't do it.
You can't have an insurrection with several hundred thousand people that don't know each other in the absence of leadership and a chain of command. It's just a bunch of people. It's not an insurrection. By definition, an insurrection has to be organized, and that was certainly not organized to do anything of that sort.
No, and truthfully, Antifa and BLM have done a better job of organizing than we have as far as public.
Right, and we know because I have firsthand witnesses that Antifa were the ones that breached the security at the Capitol building.
Yes,
it was
yes.
not the Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that hasn't made mainstream. Well, I know why it hasn't made mainstream media, because it's not the message that they want to get out. The message they want to get out is it was Trump supporters that breached Capitol security, not Antifa.
The white supremacist.
The white supremacist, exactly. Or white nationalists. President Trump did a good job of addressing that whole term, white nationalists. If you're white and you believe in your country, I guess you're a white nationalist. I mean, that's a pretty loosey-goosey term to be used in the first place, isn't it, Randy?
Yes, and you know what's cool is you look around the world, and a lot of people don't agree with Trump in different things, but the one thing they love about the guy and where they ridicule their own leaders is he loves his country. Period. So even if they don't agree with his policies, they admire him because he loves the United States. And their leaders, like the Trudeaus and the Merkels, they don't love their country like Trump loves the U.S.
They don't love their people.
Period. Yeah.
They don't love their people. And, Trudeau is a outright communist. Merkel comes from her younger years was in East Germany, where she had affiliations with Stasi, is my understanding, the East German secret police.
I want to see John Moore. I want to see Merkel's lineage. I'll tell you what: if Hitler had a daughter, I don't know. Okay, look, I'm just saying, I don't know. And I'm just saying.
So she might be the love child.
Who knows? Hey, Adolf could be, out there, who knows, man?
We don't know. We don't know.
Don't know. But, yeah.
I saw an interesting photograph. It was a black and white. And I don't know what I did with it, but it showed Merkel. And they were kids now. They were young. I'm saying like 13, 14, 15. They were like at some sort of prep school or something. And a leader from another country that is established today, like New Zealand or something. But as little girls, they knew each other. And they were in this, like a boarding school. So it's like they're almost like implants. They're like Manchurian candidates. And Merkel, I would absolutely buy that. The way she acts, it's just like Trudeau. I don't believe his posted lineage for a second. I do not believe that he is Pierre Trudeau's biological son.
Well,
I don't.
And let me ask you, John, have you done, this is one thing, maybe I missed this. Have you done any research about like the two big dynasties of the 13 bloodlines, but the Rothschilds and Rockefellers? Have you done any research on that at all, or have you stayed away from that?
Well, I've read the work of the New World Order.
Gerard Griffin?
No, not that one. Unseen Hand of Ralph Epperson. In fact, Ralph was on my show last week. Ralph Epperson gets somewhat into that. And Gerard Griffin does also. I've had Edward out of my show. These bloodlines are real. They go back centuries. There's some discussion and speculation about where the Rothschild money came from. We're supposed to believe that it came from the Rothschilds lending money to the royal families and gaining interest. There's also a belief that they were put in charge of managing the money recovered in Jerusalem for the Vatican, which makes more sense than loaning money to the monarchs of Europe in terms of just a sheer volume of money, that the Knights Templars may have very well recovered the Solomon's gold. If they did, that would be a good reason for the Rothschild wealth as well as the Vatican wealth, if it's true.
What about the billions that the Nazis had seized and just sort of disappeared? Where did that go?
Well, that's a good question. There was a film made about U.S. troops recovering works of art.
I remember that.
What do they call the Monument Men?
Yeah.
So there was lots of things going on in Europe during that period of time, and tracing gold. I mean, you can go back to our Civil War, where Confederate gold was being sought after by the Union Army, for example. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the details of that. What happened to the Nazi gold? Although I will mention this, since we're on that topic. The German industrialists were looking for a charismatic leader that would help them get what they wanted, which was to reindustrialize Germany. And they picked Adolf Hitler because he was very charismatic and he had a great appeal to the female voters. Not knowing how crazy he was, they didn't figure out how crazy he was until he decided to invade Mother Russia, which was a massive, massive tactical mistake.
Oh, yeah.
On the part of the German high command. And
that's why
when he invaded Russia, the industrialists, they were told, gentlemen, we're going to lose this war in 1943. So they started moving assets, including companies and assets and people out of Germany beginning 1943, which probably included gold also. And eventually the German high command got on board probably late in 43, early in 44, to move out everything that was important in terms of military technology to the Antarctic and Argentina and other places. That by the time the war ended in April 1945, the Third Reich had basically moved out everything that needed to be moved out and continued probably to this day. I'm a big fan of Steve Quayle and his work and his book, Empire Beneath the Ice. I've read other independent accounts of what's been going on in the Antarctic for the last 70 years, 80 years. And there's a very good possibility that the Third Reich was in a tactical retreat and was not defeated. And the technology that they developed is still superior to any technology held by the United States, Russia, or China, or any other country. Mm-hmm. Technology that gives them the ability to control the world if they chose to. There's a very good possibility, gentlemen, that they actually are in control of everything. And as long as we don't use nukes, they don't give a damn what we do to each other up here.
You know, that's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing that you said that, because I don't think that they just disappeared. I don't think that they're funding their mission.
There were 1,000 companies that left Germany before April 1945.
Mm-hmm.
1,000-plus companies. We hear about Operation Paperclip. That was just maybe 1,000 scientists or so, which is important. But compared to 1,000 companies leaving with all their assets, Paperclip was minor by comparison. The Third Reich did not disappear. They just retreated. They made a tactical retreat. I think their headquarters has always been in the Antarctic. And I do refer people to Steve Quayle's book. The first half is hard evidence based on a hard history that we have lots of evidence for. The second half of the book is the speculation based on the hard evidence being true. Now, anybody can do this. If you've got Google Earth, and Doug and Randy, you've probably done this. Yeah. Google Earth is, you can use it, it's like flying an airplane over any part of the planet you want to fly it over.
Yeah.
When you fly that airplane, the Google Earth airplane over the Antarctic, you'll find thousands of square miles blocked out.
Yeah.
Now, they're not concerned about seeing the mating habits of penguins, I don't believe. I think it's more serious than that. And I asked the question publicly, why do we have 3,000 people at McMurdo Station? That's the American base, the official publicly known American base, McMurdo Station. How many people does it take to count penguins and take ice core samples? As we're told, that's the only thing to do down there, is to count penguins and take ice core samples. Yeah, my friend Professor McCanny says there's hundreds, possibly thousands of acres of the Antarctic that are ice-free even during the winter, which we're not supposed to know that either.
Yeah, and it's not just a fluke that these German, these Nazis fled and ended up in South America.
No.
In these specific countries. That's not a fluke. That's not like, well, let's just head south. It could have went anywhere in the world, but you notice they all migrated to a particular area.
Well, Argentina primarily.
Yes.
And some of the other countries, but primarily Argentina.
Yeah. Well, that's not by accident.
Right, right. Well, the fall of 2016, we had a Secretary of State going to the Antarctic on Election Day, by the way, John Kerry. An odd place for an American Secretary of State to be on a national election.
What's that all about, John?
Well, here's what I'll tell you what we know and what we don't know. What we know is that in about a 90-day period of time, we had John Kerry down there, Secretary of State, Vladimir Putin, the Pope, and the head of the Eastern Orthodox Church were all in the Antarctic in about a 90-day period of time, the fall of 2016. Now, they didn't go down there to look at penguins. We don't know why they were there. We know they were there for a very important reason. It takes a lot to get four men of that stature in the same place at about the same time. Not exactly the same time, but close to the same time. And I believe, gentlemen, my belief is that they were briefed. And they were told information, possibly told what they could do and what they couldn't do by the people who actually run the planet.
And think about what John's saying.
I was at a fundraiser for General Flynn in Dallas a couple of years ago. The typical 10-top banquet round tables. The guy sitting next to me at my 10-top table was a retired C-130 transport plane Air Force pilot. And I asked him a question. Have you been to the Antarctic? He says, oh, yeah, John, many times. I said, can you tell him what you took out of there? He says, no, John, I signed non-disclosure agreements. I'm not going to put my pension at risk to tell you what I took out of there. What more do you need to know? Well, archaeology has two jobs, gentlemen. One is to recover ancient technology. The other is to keep us from finding out about it.
And the other thing that proves what John's saying is look at John Kerry and look how John Kerry has been operating behind the scenes during Bush, during Obama, and during Trump's presidencies. He's running his own show for someone else. This guy is... He's violated the Logan Act.
He's a high-level operative is what he is. He's a high-level
Absolutely.
Operative.
Absolutely. He has violated the Logan Act, and nobody says a word to the guy.
Well, nobody's been
prosecuted. Not a word.
There's never been
you can't. He's untouchable.
But to John's point, no one has been prosecuted under the Logan Act. All right? No one. No. Yeah.
But he's making deal, to violate the Logan Act, he has to make deals on behalf of the U.S. government. I think he's making deals on behalf of the people who really run the world, which is not the U.S. government.
Yep. Guys, because we started this out with the Great Reset. Now, I'll tell you what, please don't, folks, I'm not off my tree, but man, I'll tell you something. There's something big coming, in my view, okay, that people are going to see, and they're going to be so deceived by whatever this is. Are we talking some sort of disclosure? Hey, alien life? Because look at all the stuff we're seeing about UFOs. And you know what? As a kid, I was interested in UFOs, and then not so much now. But wait.
Well, that's not where the action is.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, much of UFO activity is actually our military technology, and some of it, I believe, probably is alien. But the real action is in the satellites. And I verified this through several private sources, two government-related, one in the private satellite industry. And the guy in the private satellite industry, he attended one of my presentations I did. And he says, John, you think about it. You know, shoot something up in a space that's worth 10 or 20 or 40 or $50 million. It's not optional. You have to know everything that's orbiting Earth, its size, its speed, and its elevation. It's not optional. Everything up there is carefully mapped out. mm-hmm. by NASA and mm-hmm. similar agencies in the, in Russia and China and so forth and so forth.
Yep.
And he says there's dozens of satellites up there that we modern earthbound human beings did not put up there. Some going back as much as 12,000 years, others in the last 50, 60 years. And gentlemen, this is common knowledge within the intelligence community and within the satellite industry. So they have these UFO conventions where there's photographs of silver painted frisbees in somebody's backyard sailing across the yard, where reality is the satellites. And this is well known. In fact, Pepsi Cola, I think you can probably, I haven't looked for a while, but Pepsi Cola did a YouTube video, or that was published on YouTube, I should say, about the Black Knight satellite. It was January, I think 3 years ago, that they, it was a multi-million dollar, very sophisticated, presentation about the Black Knight satellite making
Black Knight as in N-I-G-H-T.
K-N-I-G-H-T.
Okay.
Right. And making it sound like this object up there, which is before that video, was maybe 0.1% of the people in this country even knew it existed, myself being one of them. Make it sound like it's going to bring everybody on the planet together to be one happy world singing Kumbaya is what the presentation gave the appearance. Paid for by Pepsi Cola. And it may still be available on YouTube. It probably is, since it is politically correct. The Black Knight satellite is estimated to be 12,000 years old. It's just below the Van Allen radiation belt. And it took me several years, but I finally got the third dimension. 20 feet by 70 feet by 50 feet is the size of this thing. It has a second nickname, which is hardly anybody knows. The second nickname is the chirogenic box. It was discovered in 1959 during the...
One more time, John. What was that?
Chirogenic box.
Chiro, okay.
Yeah. And chirogenics involves the use of absolute zero. Discovered in I believe, 1959 during the Eisenhower administration. Now, Doug, imagine you're a 30-year-old Air Force captain and you got the overnight shift in the Situation Room in the White House, and your boss upstairs is a five-star general who happens to be President of the United States. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you've just been notified by NORAD that there's something on a polar orbit that we can't identify. And your job is to wake the president or let him sleep. Well, you go ahead and wake him up. That's how important it was when they found this thing. Wow. It became a matter of highest national security and a highest national priority to gain access to the contents of that box, which I believe personally the Apollo space missions was simply a cover to get the technology and spend the money to get up there and gain access to that box, which they probably did in the mid to late 1960s. Although even the U.S. senators I've had contact with don't know who've had access to that box. U.S. senators typically have a pretty high security clearance, but even they don't know. The technology inside that box is the most important thing that you can imagine. And I'm pretty sure we've gained access to it by now and have got our hands on that technology to reverse engineer it.
Huh.
Great point. And you can verify it by watching the, I could do a quick search here on YouTube and see if it is available, to the, public still.
Okay.
But I'll do that real quick.
Yeah. All right. And Randy Taylor, now people might say, well, what does this have to do with the price of tea in China? Pun intended. Well, it has a lot to do with it. I mean, you know, we've been lied to so much. And
everything ties together, man.
It does. And you know, one thing I learned, and Andrew Torba came out, while John's looking for this, Andrew Torba came out, and you know Gab, folks. Gab was hacked this past weekend. Andrew Torba came out and said, oh, he was so offensive. Oh, my goodness. I love Andrew Torba. He said, tranny demons. Gab was hacked by tranny demons. And, boy, did he cause a stir by saying that. But he meant that literally, okay? Not figuratively, literally. There is, whether it is the topic of spirit cooking, Marina Abramovic, or tranny demons casting spells and you know, witches getting together, hexing President Trump and so on. This stuff's real. If it's not real to you, it's real to them. Mm-hmm. It's real.
Yep. And I'm not, I've never been so vain as to think that we're the only planet with life on it.
Nah.
Absolutely. And I believe me, folks, I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I think that there are several planets out there and that God has several.
Okay, I found it, guys. I won't set out of time here.
Okay, good.
You have to scroll down pretty far. Put the following in your search engine, the YouTube search box. Black Knight Satellite Pepsi. Black Knight Satellite Pepsi. And here it is. It was Black Knight decoded a Pepsi production. And here it says, this is a Pepsi ad depicting a fabled, the fabled ancient Black Knight satellite to be a real thing. These companies are known to spend, and then it goes on to say, millions on researching trends in regular society. Is it possible that that many people are really fed up with the way things are and want radical change? So it's there and people can watch it.
Okay. And do so, yeah. Folks, to get yourself educated on that. Wow. Interesting. I brought that up.
And that's a Pepsi video.
Pepsi Cola sponsored this thing. Wow. And it's, I mean, this thing came out of a Hollywood studio. This is a very slick production. Very slick.
Very interesting indeed.
This is the last Pepsi video I watched was Michael Jackson catching on fire.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What did you just say?
I said the last video I watched was the one where Michael Jackson caught on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought it was Richard Pryor that caught on fire.
Well, him too, but his was on a whole different deal, smoking crack. Yeah. Freebasing.
Freebasing at how many thousand feet? Yeah, that'll definitely do you. Anyway, so back to Earth just for a second. You know what I want to know? And Revolver News, by the way, has this as a headline from yesterday. Who's Capital Mystery, Capital with an O, Capital Mystery, who's blocking the evidence? I'm going to get your guys' take on this. There's actually two parts to this, part one of the investigation. The New York Times has been forced to backpedal on their insane and mendacious claim that Officer Sicknick was murdered by a fire extinguisher-wielding MAGA mob. That didn't happen, folks, just so you know. Okay.
His mother said it didn't happen.
Exactly. At most, pepper sprayed, but, you know, who knows. But part two gets into, and again, you can go to Revolver News and find this. I guess the question is at this point, where, you know, what exactly what is taking place at the Capitol building? John Moore, I want to know from your sources, from your assessment. Look, law enforcement, I get it. Is this just a matter of optics with respect to the mm-hmm. Capitol stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, I mean,
well, my Monday guest, Sam Andrews, who you know, Doug, he was there on the grounds. He did not go into the Capitol, but he was on the grounds during that situation. And he and his people identified the Antifa people moving through the crowd. They had their hand on the shoulder of the man in front of them. They were all dressed in all black.
Yep.
And they were attempting to move through the crowd and being told, well, you guys aren't going anywhere. This is simply people are too tightly packed. And another gentleman I know was on site, and he also identified Antifa people in the crowd. And that's who breached the Capitol security. The video of the Capitol Police security man waving the Antifa people into the Capitol has been circulated widely. The majority of people who did get in there were peaceful and caused no damage or destruction of any consequence. It's all things been blown out of proportion. It really has.
I question the death of that young lady.
There's been a lot of question about that, and apparently the security officer or police officer, whatever he was, did shoot her. And there was no reason for deadly force to be used against this woman. She was not using deadly force. She was not armed. No threat to anybody.
But when was her funeral? How come we didn't see her being loaded into an ambulance? We saw none of that.
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that.
I think it's a false flag.
Was she really shot? I think she was. Was the complete turmoil going on her? I'm not surprised we wouldn't see her being loaded into the gurney, into the ambulance.
But even after that, where's the outrage too? Here's a woman unarmed. Okay. She served our country. She was a Air Force vet. Obviously it was a bad decision to be where she was at that time, but you know,
when they interviewed her husband, he didn't seem any more upset than if his lunch was late.
Yeah, but you know what?
I get the shock thing. I got that. But
people grieve in different, or you know, have reactions in different ways.
Okay. When was her funeral?
I don't know.
The black guy that was kneeled on by a police officer, you know, that wheeled his body to 59.
I think that trial is this week, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
That's going to be major news.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Randy,
I would love to be on the defense team for that officer. I would love to be on that defense team and be part of it.
Yeah. The trial of the police officer ostensibly responsible for the death of George Floyd is.
Well, the evidence that will exonerate the officer, there's two parts to the evidence that will exonerate him. One is a toxicology report. Yep. He had enough drugs in him to kill two normal men, plus half of a third of a normal man. Plus the video that wasn't released until the riots were already finished of George Floyd being handcuffed inside the police cruiser saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, those two pieces of evidence exonerate the officer on the spot.
Yeah.
Because George Floyd, and of course, testimony from an expert witness of the well-known symptoms of being on an overdose from that particular drug is one of the well-known symptoms is you can't breathe. So that would be the three pieces of evidence: toxicology report, the video of him being in the cruiser saying "I can't breathe" and asking to be removed from the cruiser at his request, by the way. Of course, a fourth piece, and the medical expert saying, "Well, this is a well-known part of overdose from this particular drug is you can't breathe," and then finally, the police academy approved method for restraining a person on the ground in that police department on that day was to do exactly what the officer did.
It's in their manual.
It's in the manual.
Yep.
That is that it no longer is. But on that day, that was the official approved method for restraining a prisoner on the street. So he needs to, and he will be exonerated, which will mean more rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Is this what the left, not the left, the puppeteers, is this what they want? More rights?
Of course they want.
Okay.
They want nationwide rights.
Oh, yeah.
The Antifa has a chain of command. They have been recruited, trained, paid for, equipped to have nationwide rights. And they begin the day that this officer is exonerated, and he will be exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind. With that evidence, which will be presented, you're not going to convince, you only need to convince one person that the evidence I just stated is accurate. You don't need to convince two. Just one person needs to be convinced that the evidence is accurate and the officer will be exonerated.
Randy, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay.
Too bad you're on the spot.
This may be the beginning. We've heard for months. Well, we've heard for months, gentlemen, of riots in 38 plus cities. And when that trial is over, which could be this week or next week, I've never seen a murder trial personally go more than 3 days, but given the consequences, when it may go longer. So either this week or next week, this trial should be over. The officer will be exonerated. And then we may have riots beginning at 38 American cities at the same time.
Yeah, except for OJ's.
Doug, if you ever seen a murder trial personally,
Personally,
you ever seen a murder trial go more than 3 days?
Personally? Yourself?
No, I haven't myself.
No. I think 3 days. Yeah, 3 days was a max.
No,
because there's no really there's.
The jury may take a day or two to make the reach their decision, right. But the actual trial part's concluded in 3 days. Now, what happened with O.J. Simpson was a complete aberration of what takes place in these courts.
And Judge Ito's is on line one for you, John. Judge Lancito. Never saw a camera he didn't like. All right. Randy Taylor was part of that.
How many books of speaking engagements has he gotten out of this?
The reason they use racism is it's the one sure thing that they can use to turn Americans against each other.
It's pure emotion, and it's media-driven.
Yep.
Media-driven emotion is all that is. And it's a big deal, and it's real. They make it real.
Yep.
They make it real.
They feed it.
I was sitting next to him, the pastor of my church, a few days after George Floyd died, and I said, "Pastor, they kept getting the wrong guy to make a issue of, but this time they finally got the right one." And of course, that was before I knew what I know now, that he was dying of a drug overdose, that he couldn't breathe because of the drug overdose, that the police officer used the correct approved method for restraining the suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know all that at the time, and neither did any of us, did we?
No, not at all.
And anybody has any questions, just go back and pull it up. You can do it in Google. Pull up 1917, Russia, the Russian Revolution. Just read the preamble part where how it started. You're going to see so many similarities as what's going on in the United States now.
Hey,
loose groups, loose factions, all wanting to fight.
This is how
it starts, people.
So we have about 4 minutes left. I can't believe how quickly this has gone. 2 minutes to both. What should we be looking at? Well, John, because we're not going to talk to you until next week. I'll give you 4 minutes.
Watch this trial. When this trial is over, the riots begin. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt there'll be riots in Minneapolis. They have the most serious barricades I've ever seen up there. Two fences with filled up with concertina wire in between them. Mm-hmm. But what we've been hearing for many months, a better part of a year, not quite a year, is that the riots will be nationwide in 38 major cities all at the same time. And this is exactly what the communists want. They want rioting in 38 major cities all at the same time. That gives them the excuse they need to move forward with the rest of their agenda.
Yep.
Well, no. So...
It's exactly what they need. It's exactly what they need, exactly what they want.
And back in the background, Barack Hussein Obama is just smiling to himself.
And Valerie Jarrett actually pulling the strings.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And Ilhan Omar's been too quiet.
She's a minor player in all this.
Yeah, well, in Minnesota, she's a major player.
In Minnesota, she is.
Yeah.
Well, she don't need to say anything. It's going to happen without her doing a damn thing. The riots will take place.
And you know, speaking of minor players, Keith Ellison, don't forget about him. And you know, so, okay. So, folks, keep your eyes out. I fail to remember the police officer's name, Dauvin or something like that. He's going to be on trial this week. For the death of George Floyd. But by the way, John and Randy, this also goes to the selection of prosecutors funded by Soros family money. You know, so mm-hmm. Telling you, it's something to watch for. So yeah, we're in for it. Well, folks, that'll do it for us. I got to tell you, it was a great program. I thought a lot of information was passed to the viewers and listeners. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. It'll be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com where you open up the box and there are all the links. John, who's your guest? Anything coming up this week we should know about on your show?
Well, tomorrow morning, the second 2 hours, we have the Tuesday morning roundtable with three men who have some varied experiences. Jeff Nyquist, who's an expert on international communism, a former U.S. Navy officer, Mr. Leon Green, and Steve Ben Noon, former CIA field agent.
We will be
so the four of us have a great time.
We will be tuned in for that, and I'm sure you do a hell of a lot better job of emceeing the roundtables than I do. Randy Taylor, I want to thank you so much for all you do. Randy
good
Taylor,
you. Thank you. Good to see you, John.
John,
yeah,
Moore.
Good to see you, Randy and Doug. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you next Monday.
We'll see you next Monday.
Keep your ear to the ground, folks. All right, ears to the ground. All right, folks, that'll do it for me. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for everyone who is keeping us on the air. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. Thank you so much for telling others about the program. Have a good night.